a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow-restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Welcome back, Saturday, or I should say good Saturday morning. This is Saturday Morning Sports
Talk. You're trying to rush us through this, Greg.
Yes, I am.
You're all ready to go, Greg. It's a busy Saturday.
This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood joining us on this Saturday morning. We'll be visiting shortly with Emporia High football coach Keaton Tuttle. We'll also be visiting with Mitch Holtz, voice of the Chiefs this morning. And without further ado, we say good morning to Emporia High football coach Keaton Tuttle as he joins us on the Sutherland studio line. Apply for a Sutherland's credit card and enjoy special offers and discounts at Sutherland's. And Coach Keaton Tuttle, good morning to you. And last night, through the first three quarters, going toe-to-toe with Topeka High. That fourth quarter, though, a roller coaster ride. You just couldn't catch up and get ahead of Topeka High last night.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing we talked to him after the game about is, you know, can't wait to have some of that success and things like that. And, you know, don't get me wrong, Topeka is doing a lot of nice things as well. You know, credit to them. But, yeah, that's one thing we definitely talked about is we got to be a little bit more consistent. And, you know, we show that we can move the ball. We just got to make sure we do it in all four quarters and not just at the end.
And defensively, there still have to be some concerns. Gave up some big plays last night, and the type of things you talk about not needing to do in games like that.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think when we look back, watch that a couple more times, I think we're going to see just a few missed tackles. You know, one thing I think is, you know, nice to see is a lot of those, you know, a few of the blown assignments and things we had a week ago, you know, did seem a lot better. I think, honestly, it's just a few missed tackles here and there, and that leads to, you know, big plays.
And you have to wonder early on, you had some chances in the first quarter to take the lead, and you have to wonder a little bit, you know, what would have happened if we could have executed and got that early lead. You had to feel like going into the game, if you got the early lead, you'd have to like your chances of winning the game.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, and that's, you know, one thing I know Coach Wells talks about, and I have to agree with all the time. You know, momentum in high school football is just, it's huge. And I think if we could have got one of those early scores, maybe a couple of them, it's a completely different ballgame, which, I think I'm stating the obvious a little bit here. But, you know, that's, you know, one thing we're trying to do is, you know, we want to come out, sustain some drives, take some time off the clock, you know. A lot of our guys are playing both ways, so we don't want to try to go as fast as we possibly can. You know, we're trying to sustain some drives and take some time off the clock and things like that. So, yeah, I would agree with you. You know, that's we've got to do a better job of coming away with points, and especially on those early drives.
And I guess with the Kincaid kid, I had him with 15 carries for 120 yards, and then, of course, he had that 61-yard run towards the end of the game. But he was dynamic because he had 203 yards of total offense, and a lot of that receiving game was via the screen pass, and they went with Ewing on the screen pass too. What was kind of difficult about the Kincaid kid that made you guys tough to stop him, because he only had two plays where he had negative yards?
You know, like always, you know, Topeka High's got some pretty good athletes. I mean, they have since I've been around. And, you know, we've seen some pretty special ones that are still playing today, you know, at the college level and beyond. One of the things that's tough is, you know, with those great athletes, they're able to, you know, move around some, you know, something you think might be a broken play or something like that. Quarterback sneaks out, finds that running back where, you know, when he starts running, we lose a couple guys. And, you know, linebacker, secondary level, things like that. And then, you know, he finds them, hits them, we're out of position a little bit. You know, when you have, you know, some great athletes like that, they can kind of create something out of nothing. And I think they did a little bit of that last night.
I guess what's the other thing is they missed that 27-yard field or 29-yard field goal at the end of the first half to try to go up 10-0, and you're still in the ball game at halftime. What was kind of your message at halftime? Because then you guys came out and got a turnover on downs, but just couldn't move the football on that next drive, and then a couple penalties hurt you guys on that first drive of the third quarter.
Yeah, you know, our message for our guys is when, if we want to make something change, if we want to, you know, right the ship, it's got to happen right now, you know. And yeah, I think some of the exact words were, you've got to draw a line in the sand and you've got to back it up and change things and, you know, and show as much heart as you possibly can. You know, I think a lot of our guys did, you know, it's, one of those things. We need a few other things to go our way. We can't hurt ourselves with penalties. And, you know, at the end of the day, we've just got to be able to move the ball. And that's, you know, occasionally it puts our defense in a tough spot, you know, not being able to move the ball. We've got to be able to run the ball. And I think we can. We did at times. We've just, again, goes back to that consistency piece. You know, we can't do it on one down and then not the other. We've got to do it all the time.
And then you look at the last 6 minutes of that football game, and your offense comes to life. Sheldon Stewart throws a couple of touchdown passes. Also scores a rushing touchdown. Yeah, you have to be pleased with the development of Sheldon Stewart at quarterback. This is, what, his third game starting as a quarterback, and it seems like he's really made some tremendous improvement.
Yeah, he really has. You know, and the nice thing is, you know, he's gotten that much better every week. You know, he knows this, and we know there's still things we need to work on. That's always going to be the case. You know, I think the same thing about myself coaching. You know, there's always something we could be working on. But he has, you know, you think about, there's some guys, you know, play football, you think about a college quarterback who might redshirt and sit behind somebody else for 3 years. And, you know, Sheldon didn't have that opportunity. You know, he was playing receiver for us. Guy goes down, got to have him, and he didn't bat an eye. He stepped right in, and, you know, did his job, you know, and I think he still is, and he's going to continue to. And, you know, on top of that, you know, outside of the football aspect, he's a great kid too, you know, and he wants to be a winner. He wants to do all those things. So guys like that really make you enjoy your job.
And then for the second week in a row, we saw a couple of players who played in their second game of the season, in Cooper Reck and Parker Leeds, who give you a little bit of big play opportunities.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, it's a lot of fun to see, you know, Cooper Heck flying around. You know, he's got a lot of speed, catches ball well, you know, and it's just nice to see those guys get out in space. Same with Parker. You know, I think they both had some very nice catches last night and, you know, gave ourselves an opportunity and, you know, their team to get in position, and they did. You know, like we talked, again, it's just a little bit of that consistency. We gotta get it going first, second, third quarter, and not just wait to the very end. And that's, you know, a little bit of urgency as well, and that's something we're going to push a little bit more this week is, you know, we can't wait. We've got to do it now, and we've got to go.
And I guess the other positive that I take out of last night, you don't turn the ball over. What was it like knowing that that's one of the positives, because turnovers have been an issue through the first three games?
Yeah, without a doubt. And again, I think that's a little bit of that maturity and, you know, us getting in, you know, Sheldon taking a few more reps. You know, I know last night it's, you know, he got to a spot and he's like, all right, I've got to throw this one away. And he did, you know, and that's when in the past, I think that competitor in us and, you know, and Sheldon thinks, hey, I got to make a play. I'm going to try to get it to my guy, where he might not have been in a great position to do that. It might result in an interception, where that didn't happen last night. You know, he got out of the pocket, got it out of bounds, and, you know, we lived to fight another day.
Four games into the season, a third of the way through, you still have some big games yet to play, some challenging games yet to play. But what is it through the first four games that has you encouraged and has you looking forward to the rest of the season?
You know, there's one thing, myself and the rest of our coaching staff look at all the time is we're very, very close. I mean, you're, you know, five or six plays here, three or four plays here, and there's a couple games that are completely different. So that's very encouraging. It does show that growth. I mean, it shows, you know, some of our guys how much time they put in this summer and how much, you know, how hard they do work at practice. You know, But at the end of the day, the biggest thing is, you know, they've never quit. And that it could get easy to do. It could get really easy to do down, you know, last week it was, you know, they had 50 points and stuff like that. And last night we're down a couple scores. You know, they could have just as easily been done and been like, you know, we'll move on. We'll go to another game. We're done with this one. But they've never done that. So that resiliency, you know, that's one thing that I enjoy seeing from these guys because, you know, they want things to change. They want things to be different. They want to right the ship. And, you know, it might not always look like that on the scoreboard, but, you know, we see what they're doing day in and day out, and it really, really is encouraging.
Yeah, Manhattan next Friday night, homecoming to boot. As far as Manhattan's concerned, they have one big win under their belts already this season, a victory over Derby. I'm guessing Manhattan's going to bring a pretty good football team into Welt Stadium on Friday night.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I would say they're one of, if not the best team, you know, in 6A right now. You know, they move around. They've got a lot of athletes, and they're very physical. So, you know, and that's, you know, something we talked to them last night. I think it's the movie Miracle where their coach says, great triumph comes from great opportunity. You know, and that's, you know, something we're stressing to them because it does. You know, and if we want to be, you know, a top team in this league and we want to work and get towards those types of things, those are the teams we want to play and we want to, you know, we want to beat. So it's a great challenge, and I think our guys are going to be excited and ready for it.
And speaking of Centennial League, wow, what the teams at the top are proving that they're among the best in the state, because last night Junction City beats Bishop Carroll. That's a big win for Junction City. And, of course, as we mentioned, Manhattan beats Derby earlier this year. You still have some great opportunities to play a spoiler or even maybe put a little ding in somebody's schedule.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, these are some great teams. You know, Manhattan, Rural, Junction, you know, those are some very, very good football teams. And the nice thing is, you know, we want to be playing those guys because, you know, we know that's the level we want to get to. That's, you know, I'll be completely honest, those are some very good programs, and they have been good for quite a while. So when we talk about how we want things to go, how we want to be, those are teams we want to be like, and, you know, want to be ourselves. But at the end of the day, you know, we got to beat those teams to become that.
Well, Coach, thanks for taking time out and joining us today here on the Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Have a great week of practice, and good luck Friday night against Manhattan.
All right, thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
That's Emporia High football coach Keaton Tuttle joining us on the Sutherland Studio Line. Free in-store pickup available on thousands of items when you buy online at Sutherland's. And, you know, that was a game last night. If you're Emporia High, you're trailing 7-0 at halftime, and you say, you know, we're just a couple steps away from having the lead in this game or being tied. Unfortunately, things didn't quite go their way. But in the final final 6 minutes, really, final 5:41, Emporia High does put together some offense. They score 21 points, and they're probably saying, why didn't we do this earlier?
Yeah, Greg, and I think the big difference in that game was not moving the ball in the third quarter on that first possession, because they get the turnover on downs, and that's a gifted opportunity for Emporia High there. And then, of course, they punt the ball away, and then Topeka High had some good field position and then got up 20-0, and then all of a sudden the offense clicked, and me and Ken Hansen were like, you know, where was this earlier? Because then there were things of like, is this going to be one of those comebacks that we didn't really picture and whatnot? Because when it got to 20-7, I'm like, okay. Then they onside kick, and they had a good opportunity at the first one, but just couldn't get on it, and Topeka High extended it back to 20. But then, of course, Emporia High had another immediate response. If they get on that onside kick for the first one, I think we see a much closer game and maybe even an Emporia High win.
But missed opportunities, both first half and second half. You know, we can talk about the big offense, but sometime along the line, the defense has had to step up, and unfortunately, they couldn't keep the Trojans off the score, because it seemed like every time Emporia High scored, especially in that fourth quarter run, Topeka High would answer with a score of their own.
Yeah, and they were, and when T. High was running the screen with the Kincaid kid and went with the Ewing kid, those plays were huge. And of course, there was like a third down and two where they went to it and got a first down too. Just the defense couldn't get off the field and trying to hold Topeka High at check in that second half when it's still a ball game.
34-21, the final score last night. Emporia High losing to Topeka High again. They'll be at home this coming Friday hosting Manhattan. It'll be homecoming for the Spartans as they hope to have a happy homecoming, but it's going to be a challenging game. Other games from last night, a game you heard on Country 101.7 FM. It was Burlingame defeating Chase County 26-24 in a dandy eight-man showdown. Most of the scoring done in the first half. Only score in the second half was the winning touchdown for Burlingame. The two quarterbacks had outstanding games. Kobe Middleton for Burlingame threw a couple of touchdown passes. And Chase County quarterback Mitch Budke also had scored all three touchdowns for the Chase County Bulldogs. Outstanding games for them. But Burlingame comes away with the victory as they take the lead in the district standings, and those two teams could possibly face each other again during the postseason. Also last night, Madison defeats Maranatha Academy 46-0. Linden with a nice win over Cara Paravel 28-24. Colony Crest shut out Hartford 46-0. Lebo over St. Paul 54-6. Marmaton Valley defeated Meredithine Valley 58-12. Opie shut out Pleasanton 27-0. Jayhawk Lynn beat Northern Heights 64-8. And yesterday morning, we received word from Northern Heights that their head coach, Todd Callahan, had resigned for personal reasons and that Peyton Hines would take over as the head coach for the rest of the season. And unfortunately for Peyton in his debut, Jayhawk Lynn defeats Northern Heights 64-8. It was Mission Valley defeating Valley Falls 24-16. Osage City with a 45-16 win over Eureka. Council Grove down Humboldt 20-14. Burlington a winner over Prairie View 45-32. Waverly defeated Center Law Springs as they remain undefeated 55-26. And Wetmore over Southern Coffee County 59-6. That all last night in high school football action. We'll take our first break here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll be back with more. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. Today we check in on some of the consistently best teams in the fall sports. Up first in cross country, Northern Arizona University has claimed five of the last six men's Division I trophies, including the last two. The Lumberjacks posted a dominating win in their first big meet of this season and entered the weekend atop the coaches' poll national ranking. By the way, the trend could not be more different for the D1 women. 10 different schools have won the last 12 national titles. Moving to field hockey, all three divisions have programs with dynasty-level status, but the hottest school currently is Middlebury College in Division III. Last year's perfect 22-0 record included the Panthers' fourth title in 5 years. With their win streak now at 27 straight going into this weekend, it's no surprise they are ranked number one in the coaches' poll. Coming up, more repeat champion hopefuls on This Week in the NCAA.
You can't get much for $5 these days. Unless you go to Wendy's for a $5 Biggie Bag. Get your choice of double stack, junior bacon cheeseburger, or crispy chicken BLT. Plus, four-piece nugs, fries, and a drink. All for just $5.
You got that bag. You got that Biggie Bag. You got that bag.
That was smooth, wasn't it? That's how you're going to feel when you get that Biggie Bag at Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes four-piece nuggets, small soft drink, and small fry. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
You can't get much for $5 these days. Unless you go to Wendy's for a $5 Biggie Bag. Get your choice of double stack, junior bacon cheeseburger, or crispy chicken BLT. Plus, four-piece nugs, fries, and a drink. All for just $5.
You got that bag. You got that Biggie Bag. You got that bag.
That was smooth, wasn't it? That's how you're going to feel when you get that Biggie Bag at Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes four-piece nuggets, small soft drink, and small fry. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongmontAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, along with Dylan Sherwood, as we also will be visiting with Mitch Holtz's voice of the Chiefs before the hour's out. As the Chiefs gear up for their big Sunday trip to Indianapolis tomorrow afternoon. We'll get more from Mitch. He should be well rested after not having had a game since last Thursday. So hopefully the Chiefs are well rested and ready to get into the fray. So they'll be taking on a Colts team that's still looking for their first win of the season. Before we go any further, we need to select our Athletes of the Week, brought to you by Emporia Main Street. And let's start on Emporia High side, Dylan.
Well, a couple of nominees I want to throw out, Sadie Rethman and Ryan Pico, both of the volleyball team, both had good nights on Thursday night in the triangular against Salinas Central and Manhattan. And, of course, Olivia Eckert's in that picture, but Greg, you selected her last week. But I'm going to go to the boys soccer team for this week's Emporia High Athlete of the Week. Jeffrey Linares scores in overtime on Thursday night in a 1-0 victory over Topeka High. He gets the goal, the golden goal for Emporia High, as Emporia High bounces back after the loss to Washburn Rural on Tuesday night. 1-0. Spartans are 7-2 now on the season, 2-1 in the Centennial League. So our Emporia High Athlete of the Week is Jeffrey Linares of the boys soccer team.
Of course, the soccer team, they're off until next Thursday when they host Manhattan. So they have some big matches coming up, but a good start to the season for the Emporia High boys soccer team. So congratulations to Jeffrey Linares. And on the area high school side, we're going to go to the cross-country sport for this morning's Area Athlete of the Year Week. And a youngster leading the way for the Opie cross-country team at Wabunsee this past week, as Caleb Arnold finishes in first place in that race at Wabunsee. So congratulations to Caleb and the first-place finish. And we select him as our Main Street Athlete of the Week.
Yeah, good choice. We picked a couple of freshmen here early in the going, so a second freshman getting the honor, but on the area side. So,
and we have, there were a couple of good outings last night. Even you could have gone with Colby Middleton of Burlingame. He had an outstanding game, helping lead his ball club to a victory over Chase County in a very challenging game, and he had an outstanding night. Threw a couple of touchdown passes on the night, and he ended up with 169 yards of total offense. But we're going to go with Caleb Arnold of the Opie cross-country team with this week's Area Athlete of the Week. And speaking of things that are going on today, Emporia High-wise, girls tennis team hosting a tournament this morning. They'll get started here in about 20 minutes on the Emporia High courts. And then also in action today, Emporia High's cross-country teams, they are at Rimrock for a race. And this year, 5A returns to Rimrock for state. So they're going back to the state course to compete and get maybe a foretaste of things to come.
Yeah, and Rimrock, I've been up there, and just a great course, just north of Lawrence, and it's always a challenge, and it's good that high schoolers can experience that course during the course of the regular season, and if they eventually qualify for state, then they get the opportunity at a second go around and try to run a personal best there.
Also, from yesterday, on the college side of things, Emporia State cross country team hosting a meet. They've set up a new course out at the Trussler Sports Complex, and both the Emporia State men and women come away with first place finishes, and individually, Emporia State runners come away with first place finishes. On the women's side, Taylor Williams, who was a freshman, won that race, and on the men's side, Tyler Swift finishes in first place for Emporia State. And the men had four other runners finish in the top 10. The women had four other runners finish in the top 20. So I guess you could say almost a dominating performance by the Emporia State cross-country runners. They'll have a little more of a challenge next week when they go to Columbia, Missouri for the University of Missouri Gans Creek Invitational. They'll get a little more of a test there. They do have one more home meet in October. I think it's the final meet before the MIAA races, which will be held at Missouri Southern. They'll host a meet then. Emporia State volleyball team yesterday losing to Central Oklahoma in three sets. They'll play at Newman today. And Emporia State soccer team, for the third time this season, a tie, 2-2 tie with Northeastern State. Northeastern scores first. Emporia State takes a 2-1 lead, but with about 2 minutes to go in the match, Northeastern was able to tie the match up and it finished in a 2-2 tie. Lady Hornets back in action on Sunday when they play at Rogers State. Speaking of Emporia State, big game today taking place at Welch Stadium. Emporia State football team hosting 14th-ranked Pittsburgh State. The Gorillas undefeated on the season. Among their wins, a win at Nebraska Kearney when Nebraska Kearney was ranked, and I believe in week number two of the season for that particular game. And when you look at the two teams, I talked with Pittsburgh State's head coach, and he says these two teams are very, very similar. Both teams have the ability to run the ball. Both teams have the ability to throw the ball. They both have multiple receivers they can go to. Both quarterbacks, very similar numbers. Defenses are very much the same. Emporia State coming off a very big win over Missouri Western last week. That might give Emporia State a little bit of an edge because Pittsburgh State last week played Northeastern State, and the competition maybe not as stiff for Pittsburgh State, but you know they're going to be ready to play. This is a game I'm looking forward to seeing how it unfolds. If Emporia State can play like they did last week, this is going to be a fun afternoon for the Hornets, but this is by far the best team that they've played this season.
Well, it could be obviously a very big stepping stone for Emporia State in terms of how their season may go. And, you know, you've got Pittsburgh State coming in. I think they're, 14th ranked in the country. What a great opportunity for Coach Higgins and his guys to get a win, a big win early in the year. And, you know, you win this game, and, man, you'd have to think the confidence level would be through the roof. And hopefully a game that could potentially propel them through the rest of the season.
Because after this, they go to Washburn, then come back home for a home game against Central Missouri, then a couple of road games, one to Kearney, one to Missouri Southern. So, you know, there's some challenging games ahead of this one, but this one could go a long way in helping steer the boat in the right direction for Emporia State.
Yeah, I know you certainly can't look back, but boy, this should really be two undefeated teams playing one another today. Man, you let one get away from you on the road, a game you probably should have won. But a win today, and you forget about that loss at Central Oklahoma.
Oh, and I thought the win last Saturday helps you forget it as well. But today, you definitely put that one behind you. And I've used the term cage rattler, and that may be what that game at – hopefully that's what that game at Central Oklahoma will be. Grab your attention. Say, hey, you know, you need to take these guys seriously. Regardless of who you're playing, you need to take them seriously. You have the weapons. You have the ability. You have a good enough football team. You can beat some really good football teams, and now you just need to go out there and not – and the way Coach Higgins put it too, he goes, you don't want to make this game bigger than what it really is. Mm-hmm. Granted, Pittsburgh State undefeated. They're ranked. Yes, there's a lot of things that could go your way and propel you in the right way, but it's just the next game on the schedule as well. You have to remember there's a lot of other football games that are out there. This isn't for the league championship by any stretch of the imagination. Now, it can go a long way in helping determine maybe who – does finish near the top in the conference standings. And when you start talking playoffs, you know, granted this is only week number four, but when you look at the way things unfold over the season, you look at the end, you know there's only going to be a couple of teams out of the MIAA that make it onto the playoffs. This is a game that could definitely help out your chances in November.
Well, and you know, obviously you want to go into every game with the idea of winning it, but it's a little extra special when you can beat these teams in your home state. You know, Pittsburgh State, Washburn, Fort Hays, those schools. I mean, there's certainly some state pride on the line in games like this, and you know, it could certainly help in terms of recruiting in-state.
Oh, yes,
I mean, so there's a lot of other things outside of just the normal game that come into play here, and that's what makes it a little extra special.
Kickoff this afternoon is set for 1 o'clock at Welch Stadium, and encourage Hornet fans to show up early. The Hornet Hive opens up at 10:30, so all the fun and festivities get underway early on the Emporia State campus, and hope to see a lot of fans out at Welch Stadium to cheer on the Emporia State Hornets as they take on the 14th-ranked Pittsburgh State Gorillas. Also, big game in Kansas today, taking place in Lawrence.
Who would have guessed, huh?
Undefeated KU, 3-0, taking undefeated Duke, 3-0, and it's going to be in front of a sellout crowd.
A rare occasion at Memorial Stadium in Lawrence. Man, there's a lot of buzz, obviously. This football team has played really well, obviously, through three games. You know, you look at who they've beaten, you know, a Houston team last week that was preseason ranked, a West Virginia win that's looking better and better all the time. You know, there couldn't be much of a buzz. Hopefully they come out and play well today in front of a sold-out crowd and just continue to add to the buzz that's going on. You know, it's nuts to think. Here we sit and you've got Duke, Kansas, I think North Carolina, Kentucky, Indiana, UCLA. They're all undefeated.
Yeah.
And it's football season. It's not basketball season. So it's kind of a crazy time in football. But obviously some buzz at the KU football team, greatly needed. And man, they are fun to watch. Offensively, they can move the football. Defensively, they've played well when they needed to. It's just fun to watch, obviously, from a KU fan perspective. It's something that we're just not used to. It's been a long time coming. And hopefully, again, they come out and play well today in a game that's been very hyped and been talked about nationally. And we'll see. Early kickoff, 11 o'clock. So hopefully they'll be ready to roll.
Save the tailgating for after the win.
Oh, there's tailgate going on now, Greg.
There is, Greg.
I've seen some breakfast menus already put out online what these guys are cooking. So yeah, they're already going after it. So.
Well, I wonder how early people will be tailgating over by Welch Stadium. It could be started here in just a little bit, but yeah, from an alumni perspective, for me, you know, this is exciting too. But this is blue bloods on. In basketball, but they're playing each other in football. And this is an opportunity for KU to get the win and be 4-0. And, of course, there's a couple more opportunities to see them at home because this is the first of a three-game homestand, TCU and Iowa State coming up, Iowa State next weekend, and then TCU. These are some really good opportunities for Kansas. And Jalen Daniels, I saw something posted on the Twitter yesterday about a comment that Jalen Daniels had at the post-game press conference against West Virginia. He said something, and he looked it over. He was revisited it. He's like, man, he just like, I'm just trying to get better day in and day out. But JD6 is doing some good things, and if he continues to play like he's playing, he is going to be special. And, of course, he's got another year of eligibility left.
And when's the last time? I can't think the last time. There's a KU player. He's third in the Heisman rankings right now. So obviously, yeah. Crazy. Again, it's just kind of crazy. I mean, it's it's kind of surreal to actually at this point anyway. Now, there's a long way to go. This season can certainly go, you know, one way or the other here still. It's just nice to see a program that's working their tail end off get some benefit. So we'll see what happens today.
K-State today open up Big 12 play. They'll be in Oklahoma taking on the Sooners. That's a 7 o'clock game, and the Wildcats are smarting a little bit after their loss to Tulane.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how they bounce back today. That was a tough loss last week, certainly one that was unexpected. I think they were a 14-point favorite in that game and just didn't play very well. Now, people can lament the fact they have to go to Oklahoma today, but they play well in Norman. They've beaten Oklahoma, three of the last five times down there, I think. So this is a team that they typically play well against, and they'll have to certainly do that again today. Oklahoma playing some good football. This will be it'll be an interesting game to watch just in terms of how they bounce back.
And one key that I will say, if K-State's going to get this win at Oklahoma, Adrian Martinez has got to move the ball and get those numbers up, because he didn't have high numbers against Tulane. He hasn't had high numbers in any of his games as the K-State quarterback. That's my key. Adrian Martinez has got to get the aerial attack going. He's got weapons around him.
Kickoff of that game, 7 o'clock. You can hear it on Country 101.7 FM. Pregame coverage starting at 5. We'll take our final break, and hopefully when we come back, Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Not all mortgages are created equal. The local mortgage team at Emporia State Federal Credit Union can guide you from pre-approval to choosing the perfect loan product and completing the application, ultimately getting you into your home on time. When it's time to choose a lender for your home, go with the local mortgage leader who puts members first, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Visit esfcu.com today to connect with our lenders. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA.
NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back, Saturday morning sports talk, and it's time now for our weekly visit with Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union. NMLS number 424226. Good morning, Mitch Holtis.
Good morning, Greg. Is Tim in?
I'm here.
Tim, I don't know if you know about Wally Pipp, but...
It's over, isn't it?
Well, it's not over, but it's on. You were number one. You were number one, and now Greg is number one in reading the Emporia State Federal Credit Union ad. Dylan, you got a ways to go, but one of these weeks,
I know
you're going to be giving.
Mitch, I know it's coming. I know when Greg has to go to Kearney in a couple of weeks, I'm going to have to read it. So I'm already listening and trying to figure out what it is and whatnot, and I've heard it many times, so I'm excited to be able to read it here in a couple weeks down the road.
Well, just like the college football playoff comes out, we've got it now. Greg 1, Tim 2, Dylan a distant third. You'll get a chance at some point. And you have a chance, Tim, to regain the lead if on the way to Kearney, Greg doesn't take the back roads and go up through Smith Center in the home of the range cabin. If he doesn't do that, then he'll slide, but that's okay.
Well, what about Jiffy Burger?
And Jiffy Burger, my friend. Yep, you got to do it all. We'll add all out for Greg. He goes to Kearney all the time and never makes that pass. So I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with the dude.
I'm not the driver. We take the most direct. We take the most direct, quickest route that we can find.
Dylan knows, though, once you go to Jiffy Burger, your driver will want to take that route. It's worth a little tiny diversion to go up through Kansas 8, Nebraska 10 to come pop right out on the interstate right at Kearney. But done it many times, my friend. But if you have a Jiffy Burger, you'll go, well, that's the way we're going. We'll put in a little extra time.
No, we probably have to say that for after the game because we have to – that's an early afternoon game in Kearney. And,
ooh.
Yeah, I think it's like a 1 o'clock game in Kearney. So it's getting a burger and on the way there is going to be a little bit iffy.
Well, it's Jiffy Burger, not Iffy Burger, but that's okay. You get that.
Well, got the Indianapolis Colts coming up tomorrow afternoon. The Colts looking for that first win. How dangerous is this team?
Well, I've learned in my brief 29 years in the National Football League, the most dangerous foe early in the season. It's different later when teams can wave white flags. That you get in the first half of the season and you get a team that's desperate to win playing at home, and in this case the Colts are in their home opener, the Colts are in full Alamo mode. They need this game. If they don't, you know, it's unfair sometimes to wrap around streaks to past seasons, but in this case, the Colts, who had such a disastrous end to 2021, headed towards the playoffs and then just, you know, dropped the ball and lost in week 18 and week 17, and now they've started the first 2 weeks of this year with a tie and a loss to teams they should have drilled. There's some pressure in Indianapolis. So, yeah, they're in Alamo mode in Indy.
Well, Mitch, and the Colts, I mean, they have just looked dreadful. I know they didn't have Pittman last week, who's a huge part of their offense, but still, man, this is a team that just has looked completely discombobulated. Jonathan Taylor, a non-factor last week. Now they come into this week, they lose one of the better defenders in Shaquille Leonard. Man, this is a team that just hasn't looked good at all.
I would say perplexing is the word for me in studying these guys this week and looking at what they've done the first 2 weeks. Their offensive line, they spend more on the offensive line than any team in the National Football League. I believe it's $42 million. So you can imagine against the salary cap, they allocate more to their cap to the offensive line than any team in the league, and yet those guys are struggling. Matt Ryan's been sacked 7 times. He's been hit 14 times. It just doesn't add up. They've got good offensive linemen. Braden Smith, the kid from Olathe South, is their right tackle. He's struggling. Their left tackle has been a disaster. They've been running 2 or 3 guys in there. It's not adding up. Now, Jonathan Taylor, this is where they start tomorrow. We're going to get a lot of him. And we'll get a lot of him and Nyheim Hines in the backfield together. That's in my prediction. But Taylor's had 5 negative runs, Tim. That's the most in the NFL in the first 2 weeks. That goes back to your offensive line. They just can't get him going to get him going downhill. But if he does, look out, because we know he's the best runner in this league right now, winning the rushing title last year by 500 yards over second place.
Well, we saw a Chiefs defense last Thursday against the Chargers. You mentioned issues with the offensive line right now for the Colts. Man, the Chiefs had, what, like 18 pressures on Justin Herbert. They hit him 8 times. Obviously, he had the rib injury. Chiefs defensively has done a nice job of getting to the quarterback.
Let's take that stat a little further, Tim, because those, let's just say the 8 hits on Herbert came from 5 different players, and that's what was encouraging. In the fact that Chris Jones had a couple, Karloftis had one, almost had a safety. Frank Clark had one, Carlos Dunlap had one, Mike Dana had one. And those are front four guys. Now, I'm not talking about linebackers on blitzes. Now, Legarius Sneed had one that was on a corner blitz, that all the others came on just straight pass rush. And in this game, you're going to have to stop the run first. All those guys I mentioned have got to dig in against the run. It's like I always say, tell my granddaughters, we'll have fun when the work is done. But the work is stopping or slowing down Jonathan Taylor, and then you can have some fun trying to get after Matt Ryan at quarterback. But the defensive is just, it's played up to the prophecy of my reports with Greg during training camp. This defense is just the surprise, I think. Everybody's like, wow, the Chiefs have a defense. Well, yeah. But, I mean, they've shown it. And they've shown it front to back. Now, not having Willie Gay Jr. is an issue, and the Chiefs will have to compensate in that regard.
Well, and what they've done on third down, that's been a real key for them, you know, in terms of getting off the field.
Well, and if you're dead on again, man. You're on fire. So, Greg, he's sizzling. let's just give you the three and outs. The Chiefs, the last 4 years, I think how good they've been, four straight AFC championship games, Super Bowl championship, Super Bowl runner-up. But on three and outs, they've been 27th, 18th, 30th, and last in getting teams off the field on three and outs. So far this year, six out of the 23 enemy drives have been three and outs. That's that many more possessions that you give Patrick Mahomes the ball and a chance. And usually in those three and outs, you're going to get a field flip and decent field position. So the three and outs are big. The third downs in the Charger game, 10 of the 16, the Chargers were 5 of 16 on third down. 10 of the 16, Tim, were third and one or third and two. And the Chargers only converted four of those. Goes back to the front seven. If the Chargers can't get a third and one or third and two, that means your front seven is doing their job. And that's not been the case for the Chiefs in this four-year run, really six-year run of greatness.
Yeah, I do want to give props to a special teams guy, the punter, Tommy Townsend. Wow. Three times his boots go inside the 20. I think he had like a 74-yarder. Some real key plays in the game from the punter.
What did you eat for breakfast? okay, Dylan, see, this is what you're learning from this. It's the most forgotten point of the game, Tim. And I wish I would have brought it up more after the game. But Townsend actually took a possession away from the Chargers. And when you defer, you win the choice and defer, it usually means you're going to get one extra possession in the game. And it usually is happening. You'll have the ball at the end of the half and to start the third quarter. Time and time again, it's been proven, it's, you know, nomenclature. I could sit here and prove to you empirically that it's there. Okay. The Chargers are getting ready for that extra possession. What happens? The 74-yard punt you're talking about that the guys let roll, the Chargers don't touch it or return it or fair catch it, and 11 seconds run off the clock. And think about a good net punt's 45. This went 74. So that's 30 yards and 11 seconds. That essentially wiped out that Charger last possession of the second quarter. And that's where this thing gets real instead of just looking at a punter's gross and net average. So Tommy Townsend was an enormous piece of winning that Charger game.
What about the Chiefs' defense tomorrow? Obviously some new faces. You mentioned no Willie Gay. Darius Harris will play. Mike Dana is hurt. Malik Herring, I think his name, will get some reps. It's going to be some new faces there, Mitch.
There will be. If people are driving around today, getting ready for the ESU game or whatever, we have a podcast up. Matt and I did. Matt McMullen, the senior team reporter, and I do a Defending the Kingdom podcast. It's worth a listen because here's my answer to you. Apples don't always equal apples. Think about we have the phrase apples to apples comparison. We tried to do that with Tyreek Hill. Who's going to replace Tyreek Hill? Is that Valdez Scantling? Is that Juju Smith-Schuster? Well, now we know the answer, which we were trying to kind of get out there during the spring and summer and training camp, is that it's a whole bunch of guys, meaning the Chiefs now are just offensively. I know you ask a defensive question, but it kind of answers your question a little bit. The Chiefs right now are the only team in the NFL where seven guys have at least five-plus targets. They're the only team in the NFL where six different guys have touchdown receptions. Only team in the NFL, they have eight. They're fourth in the NFL in 8 20-plus pass receptions in 2 weeks from six different guys. But why are you answering a defensive question with that answer? Because defensively, I would tell you, it is the same formula. I know Coach said Darius Harris. Yes, but it's going to be a lot more than Darius Harris in this game. Leo Chanel's going to get a bunch of reps in this game in the base. So will Elijah Lee, the former K-Stater. But you will also see Spags utilize his extra safeties. You could see four safeties on the field in this game, essentially replacing a safety for a linebacker in the base. Not just what they've done with the three safeties, three corners. So this is almost, your answer, Tim, is a snap-by-snap answer. It'll be scheme, approach, and personnel. But it is not one guy for one guy.
No Harrison Butker again this week. Where is that potentially a problem for Kansas City?
Only if there's a pressure kick for Amendola. Amendola's been okay. He nailed a 19-yarder, 31-yarder. Here's my favorite stat, though, of the Chiefs right now. They have 10 touchbacks. And guess who leads them in touchbacks? Kickers. Justin Reed with 5. I just think it's hilarious. Matt Amendola has 4, and Butker had 1 before he got hurt. Okay. Where could it potentially be a liability in this? And I don't know, but game's on the line, 48-yard field goal to win it, or tie it, send it to overtime. Amendola's really not been in that situation yet in the NFL. His 11 games with the Jets last year, I can't find a time he was there. I need to look at that again. But that would be the only thing. Otherwise, he's good on kickoffs, seems solid on field goals, seems to fit right in. He's a competitor. He's tough. Doesn't seem too big for him. But if this thing boils down, it's 27-27 with 10 seconds on the clock, and he's got to fire up a 48-yarder, then that's when we'll get your answer.
Mitch, I did want to let you comment on Art Haynes. Issues there, and, of course, part of the network, and, man, just a sad deal there.
It's really sad. I mean, we just have had, gosh, it seems like this kind of like a hailstorm followed by a hailstorm with the loss of Lenny. And now Art Haynes, and I don't know if many of your listeners, they're aware of him on our network, but, I mean, he's a legend in the Ozarks. He's been to Missouri State University play-by-play guy for, gosh, 40 years. He's really good on, you guys know, on pre and post and on our broadcast, but it came out public, so I'm not giving out any information. The news leader of Springfield put out a story, but he's in serious condition. He's in ICU. Not exactly sure what's going on, but without giving you any more details, which I don't want to violate Art's privacy, he's in serious condition, Tim.
Yeah.
This is a rough deal. And Lisa, his wife, is awesome. His 2 kids. But right now, we're just, I mean, it's kind of like we were with Lenny, where we wait news from them almost on a 15-minute to 15-minute basis. So prayers up big time for Art that, just surprisingly, he did the Missouri State-Arkansas game last week, where Missouri State almost upset the U of A and started feeling really bad after that game. And ever since then, it's been really rough, but he's still in a tough spot.
Well, Mitch, I hope you had a good weekend last weekend. Time to get back to work, and good luck tomorrow afternoon, and hopefully next Saturday we can talk about another Chiefs win.
Yeah, let's do that. This will be hard. This is a hard place to win. Chiefs have lost 4 of the last 6 times they've gone there, and again, with a determined dug-in foe that's maybe Chris Ballard is a really good friend, their general manager. He might be that owner they got's crazy, right? So he's fired dudes on the tarmac of the airport. And if Chris loses this game, it could get rough for him. So they're dug in, man. It's tough if you study military history to take out a dug in foe defending their home turf is the hardest thing to do, and that's what we've got to do tomorrow.
Well, Mitch, have a good call tomorrow, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, you guys.
Tim, thanks, Mitch.
Stay on fire, buddy. Stay hot. Stay hot.
Yeah. I'm going to try.
That's Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. His appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union. NMLS 424226, and we need to get out of here because KU football's just around the corner.
All right.
Pre-game starting at 9:30 as the Jayhawks take on Duke, 11 o'clock kick here on KVOE on Country 101.7 FM tonight. Kansas State at Oklahoma, that's a 7 o'clock kick, and on Mix 104.9, Emporia State hosting Pittsburgh State, that's a 1 o'clock kick. For Tim Miller, for Dylan Sherwood, I'm Greg Ray. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongPineAuto.com.
Live and local, 1400 AM KVOE Emporia.